amen, amen. Well, Shakespeare asked the question, what's in a name? Well, often everything rides on a name. In the case of God, all God is in His name. It goes without saying that we all go to a great length, to protect our names. Because our reputation, our honor, our character, often our fortune is tied to our name. And there's even a branch in the legal system that exists to govern the use and the abuse of names. The media is filled with stories about accounts of libel and slander cases. And you hear people often say, I need to clear my name. I need to clear my name. And of course, with the rise of the internet and certainly with AI, artificial intelligence, my goodness, we have a huge problem with our identity thefts and misrepresentations. I am told that you can watch a video of me preaching something that is totally contrary to what I have preached all my life, contrary to what I believe and taught. Things are totally opposite to what I actually preached for 53 years. Now, this is not only scary, it's a scary prospect that when your identity, integrity, and character are stolen. Now, let me assure you that if that ever happens to me, I'm going to move heaven and earth to protect who I am and what I believe and what I teach. And the reason we're so protective of our names is because our names stand for something. In most cases, just to mention someone's name is enough to give you all kinds of visual imagery. I don't even have to say his last name. If I say Adolf, I don't have to say Hitler, and all things are conjured in our minds. The book of Proverbs tells us that a good name is synonymous with having good reputation. Proverbs 22, verse 1, it says, a good name is more desirable than a great riches, and to be esteemed is better than silver and gold. And as we come to the third commandment, the third of the Ten Commandments, we come face to face with the disturbing fact that we are all prone, to do this. And that is misuse God's name. The misuse of God's name is a whole lot more than just swearing or blaspheming or cursing. It's a whole lot more because it has to do with the very character of God. And that is why in biblical times, listen carefully, the naming of a person was really serious business. It was serious business. Some of these names are very descriptive, and I'm going to give you some examples. Isaac and Rebekah, Isaac is Abraham's son. He and Rebekah had twin boys, Esau and Jacob. Esau came first, and because Esau's skin was not only red but was hairy, so they named him Esau, which means hairy. Red Edom, which you hear in the Bible about the Edomites. These are the descendants of Esau. But his twin brother, Jacob, came out holding or grasping into his heels, his brother's heel. And so they name him Yaakov, or Yaakov, which means grasping at the heel. Hannah, this wonderful godly woman who prayed to God for supernaturally to give her a son in the temple. Even Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk, but she was crying out to God with all her heart, and God answered her prayer in abundance. And he gave her Shmuel, or Samuel, which means, God heard me. Joseph named his first son Manasseh. The word Manasseh in Hebrew, in Aramaic and Arabic, is the same word, forget. That God made me forget all the misery that I've experienced from my brothers and from Potiphar, from the pit and from the prison. He made me forget that, and he brought me into a place of honor. But the best example is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeshua. Can you say that with me? Yeshua. The Lord saves. Please, please, think long and hard with me of how low our Western culture has come in the whole area of names and the abusing and the misusing the name of the Lord. And I want you to compare this of how the people of God in the Old Testament absolutely, extremely, in reverence to the name of God. Leviticus 23, 27 says that the name of God held in such sacred, holy, that was only pronounced once a year by the high priest when he was giving the blessing of the great day of atonement. Faithful Israelites valued the name of God so much that the scribes, the Hebrew scribes who are copying the scripture, when they're writing and copying the scripture, when they come to the name Yahweh, literally they put the pen down and they went out and were bathed, ceremoniously bathed and cleansed. And then they came back to the scroll, and that time they would use a new pen, not the one that we're using. The name of Yahweh. That's how awesome. So personal, so covenantal. What's the name of God to them? And that is why the third commandment is so unlike the first two. I'm going to explain that to you. In the first two commandments, God speaks of himself in the first person. I, the Lord, your God. In the third commandment, he refers to himself in the third person. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Why is that? Because he wanted to draw our attention to who he is. He wants to draw our attention to his covenant name, Yahweh. For Yahweh is the name that was revealed by God way before Sinai, way before the Ten Commandments. It is the name that was revealed to Moses at the burning bush. You remember Moses asked the Lord, he said, well, whom should I tell them sent me to liberate them from the slavery of Egypt? Whom shall I tell them? He said, tell them Yahweh, the Lord, the God of your fathers. Yahweh literally means I am who I am. And that, my dearest friends, means that Yahweh is the God who is self-existing. Yahweh is the one who's all-sufficient. Yahweh is the one who's self-sufficient. Yahweh is the one who's self-reliant God. Yahweh is the one who is supreme, sovereign over the universe. But Yahweh also means even more than that. Yahweh is a whole lot more than just a name. Are you with me? Because his identity is in his name. Now, you have to understand, please, you have to understand that to us in the 21st century, names are just labels, right? I mean, we names are just something we have, and names are something that our parents gave us. To us, names, not something that, who we are, but not in the Hebrew world. In the Hebrew world, names expressed an inward identity of the individual. Names express that one's entire reputation. Names express of who you are. Let me explain this. When you look at someone, and I did Wednesday night after the prayer meeting, somebody from Knoxville whom I've met before, he came out to me, and I haven't seen him in a while. I said, "Your face looks familiar." You know, you've done that? And he said, "Oh, your face looks familiar." You see, when you say that, you're not referring to the part of the body above your neck. You're not really referring to that. You're talking about the person, the whole person. You're talking about everything that this person is. Why else do you think that these companies pay an obscene amount of money, and I really mean obscene amount of money, to movie stars and sports personalities, celebrities, that they have their faces and their names associated with their product? That's why. And have you noticed that the moment one of those celebrities mess up, my goodness, they drop those commercials like hot potatoes. Please hear me right. God's name does not only represent his identity, but also his personality. It represents his character. Like all of parents, and my wife and I thought long and hard as we named each one of our four children, and we watched them now. You know, we go through that experience of going through naming of the newborn baby. They thought long and hard. They choose names that may just have a nice ring around it, or a favorite uncle or favorite aunt, or grandfather or grandmother of some famous person. But I want to show you how rapidly our culture is changing in the Western society, how fast we are going down into a drain that in 2024 and 2025 in England, the number one name is Muhammad. And that is why in the Bible they call children Mephibosheth or Ichabod, because it meant something to them. The other question is, where did the Hebrew people learn this? Where did they learn the importance of a name and why the name is associated with an identity and with the person? They learned that from God. Because to them, God's name revealed who he is. And so they named their children what their children are, but also what they hope their children to grow to be. Now, some of you might be saying, "Well, Michael, I understand all that. I understand why does God insist that we do not misuse his name? Why? Why is that?" I'm glad you asked. Because the name of the Lord is holy. Just like he is holy, therefore his name is holy. So misusing the name of the Lord desecrates that which is holy. Because the name of the Lord is pure dynamite, and I really mean literally pure dynamite. Misusing the name of the Lord would be like playing with dynamite, which will blow up in your face. because the name of the Lord is worthy. So misusing the name of the Lord is tantamount to saying he's worthless. Please listen to me. The reason in the movies and on television, they make it sound hip or cool to misuse the name of the Lord is because they want to tarnish the Lord's reputation. Question again. How do people misuse the name of the Lord in our day and age? Well, I'm going to give you three things. Please write them down and remember them. Three different ways in which people in our day misuse the name of the Lord. First of all, perjury. All of you lawyers will understand that. Perjury. Secondly, intimidation. And thirdly, casualness. I'm going to unpack every one of those very quickly, though, but don't blink because you could miss it. Perjury. When someone put his hand on the Bible, or not even put it on the Bible, he's just taken an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And then they lie. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's misusing the name of the Lord. One of the saddest things in Western civilization is that millions of men and women will come to the altar of God and in the witness of people make a covenant to one another in marriage and make a marriage vow, and yet they take those vows in the name of God so lightly. Millions walk out of their marriages and the marriage vows, not for biblical reasons. There are biblical reasons for divorce, but this not for biblical reasons. They just walk out for whatever reason. In fact, today we hear more and more people, I've heard more politicians say this than I can count. I'm not lying. I'm not really lying. I'm just not telling the truth. They don't talk lying. They said disingenuous. We just call it for what it is. It's lying. Please hear me right, hear me right. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself gives us the supreme example, the best example of the utter importance of telling the truth under oath, even when he knew that it's going to take him to the cross, even when he knew that he's going to die for that testimony. I want all the millions of our Muslim friends watching on KingdomSat not to miss this. I know so many of you send us messages, and I'm glad you do. Keep listening. I want you to know that when somebody says, well, Jesus never said that he is God or Son of God, I want you to listen carefully. In Matthew 26, verses 63 and 64, the high priest asked Jesus, I'm going to quote it. I'm going to read it. I charge you under oath by the living God to tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus replied, yes, it is as you say, knowing full well that his blazing integrity in declaring who he is would take him to the cross. So much for perjury. Secondly, I come to what some Christians misuse the name of the Lord for intimidation purposes. God told me. God told me. Who's going to argue with God, right? That ends the conversation. That ends the discussion. Beloved, I want to testify to you in my own life. I am beyond extremely careful that when I hear from God or sense in my spirit that God is leading me in certain direction, not other people, but for me personally, I've never lorded over others. I am extremely careful that when that happened in my own life, for me personally, not for others, I am extremely careful. And it's only happened about 3 or 4 times in my whole life. And this is after months and months of praying and fasting. And then I hear from the Lord for something to do with me personally. Not necessarily to do with people, with others. I want to clarify some things. The majority of times, the most of the time, I hear from God through His Word. When I get up early in the morning and I have that open Bible in front of me and I hear from God, that's how we all do. We hear from God. But I'm talking about the few times when I'm in desperation and not knowing which way to turn. And God specifically gives me specific direction. I'm extremely careful with that. Because I dare not declare something of the Lord if I was 1% doubtful. And even then, I have done this in fear and trepidation. And even after all of that, that I go through, I still seek the confirmation of God's people. What is even more mortifying to me is when somebody comes and says, God told me to tell you. That's mortifying to me. It really is. God told me to tell you. In the early days of birthing this church, somehow we had a group of people who always were telling me what God told them to tell me. I really did. Lord bless them. But they always try to pull off this one, you know, God told me. And it's not something for me personally, but it's something for me to do in the church and to lead the church to do. Well, first I didn't know how to handle that. And late afterward, I simply, politely, very politely, I would say to them, this is really amazing because I talked to the Lord this morning and He never mentioned that. One of the great preachers of yesteryear, Charles Spurgeon, he was a man known for his straightforward, no-nonsense approach. I don't know whether we work in the 21st century, but he was getting up to preach one night. And he was just walking up. A lady stopped him. She said, Mr. Spurgeon, the Lord has given me a word for the congregation tonight. And without batting an eye, he said to her, lady, the Lord spoke to me after He spoke to you, and He told me to tell you to shut up. Man. I think this would be too much for our sentimental culture of today. Back then, oh well, I think I'm living in the wrong century. Not only perjury is misusing the name of the Lord, not only using the name of the Lord intentionally to manipulate people is a misuse of the name of the Lord, but thirdly, casualness in the use of the name of the Lord, or misusing the name of the Lord. Lord Byron, who himself was accomplished blasphemer in his own life, once said about a friend, he said, he knew not what to say, so he swore. You see, now people, oh my goodness, they use profanity every second word. Some of you use profanity as a crutch. And so I didn't mean that. If you catch him, they'll say, well, I was just angry and was letting off steam. I didn't mean any harm by that. please hear me right. I beg you, hear me right. To damn someone in God's name is a terrible, terrible, terrible misuse of the name of the Lord, whether you mean it or not. Jesus said, the mouth speaks from the heart. As a matter of fact, I can tell you the verses in Matthew 12, 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's why the Lord said that you cannot misuse the name of the Lord and get away with it. You can't get away with it. Let me give you a live biblical example of how somebody abused the name of the Lord and didn't get away with it. It's in Book of Acts, chapter 19, beginning at verse 14, 19 of the Book of Acts. The Apostle Paul comes to the city of Ephesus preaching the gospel. I'm going to tell you the story very, very briefly. It's not going to take long. And in the city of Ephesus, there was a man by the name of Sceva, S-C-E-V-A. I'm not pronouncing it right, but I think that's how it's pronounced, Sceva. He was the head of the synagogue in Ephesus. And Sceva had seven sons. And when Paul arrived in Ephesus, he was preaching the gospel in the power of the name of Jesus. He was baptizing people in the name of Jesus. He was healing the sick in the power of the name of Jesus. He was performing signs and wonders in the power of the name of Jesus. He was casting out demons by the power of the name of Jesus. And the Ephesians church was experiencing powers, experiencing amazing power of God working in their city like very few cities. Some of those people who were watching the Apostle Paul very closely, intently, with those seven sons of Sceva, they're watching. And they're watching the Apostle Paul very closely. And so after a while, they thought to themselves, you know, this is a good stuff. This is powerful stuff. I mean, this is really great. What a big deal that is. And they said to themselves, you know, it's easy. Just mention the name of Jesus and all the power that we can get ourselves. And just mimic Paul. That's all you need to mimic Paul and get the power for ourselves. Well, they thought if Paul can just say Jesus and things happen, we can do that too. They wanted to use the name of the Lord for selfish purposes. It didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't work for them as it was working for Paul. So they went to some demon-possessed person and they were said to him that they're trying to cast out the demons in the name of Jesus. They said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Well, the evil spirit spoke through that demon-possessed person and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know about. Who are you? Who are you? And that man who was demon-possessed jumped on those seven sons of Sceva, beat them soundly, tore their clothes. They ran out in the streets naked and humiliated. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that uses or misuses the name of the Lord. The seven sons of Sceva were trying to use the name of the Lord for their own personal selfishness. And they learned the very hard way that the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Why? Because there is power in the name of the Lord. Can you say that with me? There is power in the name of the Lord. Say it together. There's power in the name of the Lord. Please listen to me. We cannot take the Lord's name lightly or exploit it for our own selfish use without heavy cost, without heavy consequences. Now, those of you who have been hearing me for a long time in this church know that I often give you 3 points, right? Right? I always give you 3 points. But today, I'm going to give you two sets of 3 points. I just feel generous today. I feel generous today. I told you about the three ways in which never take the name of the Lord in vain: perjury, manipulation, and casualness. Now I'm going to give you three ways where you can take the name of the Lord, but not in vain. Three ways. First of all, as it was called, taking the name of the Lord properly. First of all, recognize the privilege of our relationship with the Lord. Why do you think I cry so much, publicly and privately? It's because my sense of unworthiness, my sinfulness, and the incredible privilege of knowing the Lord as my Savior and Lord. And so first, focus on this enormous privilege. Don't take it for granted. Don't just assume on God. Don't take it for granted that the very God who created the universe, the powerful, mighty God, this is the God reaching out to you. Amen. Don't ever lose that sight of the awesomeness of God. In 2002, I'll never forget being in the Oval Office and meeting the President of the United States. This happened to be my third time with this particular president. And the third time I walked in the Oval Office and I put my hand out, he looked at my hand and said, "What is this?" And he kind of gave me a big bear hug. And I must confess to you, I was overwhelmed with his generous gesture. But listen, if I felt that way about another fellow human being, think of how I feel when I'm in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, who welcomes me in His presence. And He says, "I know you call yourself my servant, but I call you friend. I have redeemed you. And I want to give you power in my name." You know, those times which are very often these days, I want to absolutely bow my head before God in humility. Secondly, recognize His constant presence. All the time, everywhere. And I got to confess to you, the times I mess up, he said, "Pastor, you mess up?" "Yeah." The times I mess up is when I forget the presence of God. You see, He's with me all the time. He's with you all the time in the car, in the office, and whether I'm speaking to one person or thousands of people. When our children were teenagers and they begin to drive, now those of you going through it, take heart. That too shall pass. I'm not going to get into this. But not only that they learned, you know, to drive, they were driving, but dating. Now, many of the SDS friends used to hang around our house. Slate Fluker will tell you that many of them used to come and hang around our house, which was great. I loved it. I loved having them around. In fact, once a year, I used to cook for all of them. Remember, I said to them, when they're going on a date, that Jesus is sitting between you and your date. And I'll say that to my children and their friends that are hanging around the house. And later they said to me, one particular young lady, she said, "Dr. Yusuf, you ruined my dates." I loved it. Thirdly, recognize the power of speaking. I know you hear preachers say the power of the tongue. You have power in your tongue. That whatever you say is going to happen. Whatever you say, God will obey you. Whatever you name and you claim is yours. Whatever you blab and you grab, listen to me. That is not what I'm talking about. That's not prosperity gospel. I'm telling you, this is no in a million no. of what I'm talking about. Watching what your tongue says. Because the tongue that blesses the name of the Lord, the tongue that praises the name of the Lord, the tongue that honors the name of the Lord, the tongue that exalts the name of the Lord, the tongue that glorifies the name of the Lord, the tongue that elevates the name of the Lord, the tongue that treasures the name of the Lord, the tongue that protects the reputation of the name of the Lord, is the tongue that invites the blessing of God in the power of His name. Can I get an amen? Amen. Will you stand up with me, please? Will you stand up? I pray to God that if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, whatever area in your life that the Holy Spirit is saying that, pointing to it, I pray to God that you would do business with God today. Now, I'm not just talking about the next few moments. I'm talking about the rest of the day and the rest of the week. Say, Lord, empower me not to misuse your name, but to use it in the proper way. Give it all the honor and the praise and the worthiness that his name it deserves. Lord Jesus, I praise your holy name. Say that with me. Lord Jesus, I praise your holy name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jeremy.